So as you're taking your seats, my name's Josh. I'm actually a teacher. I'm a primary school teacher. So last year I taught year four, which for me is probably the best age because they're not too dependent on me, but they haven't developed that like smart aleck year six attitude yet. So I enjoy teaching around that age. But enough about me anyway, let's get into it, hey. So the word that I'm going to share tonight is something that God has put on my heart for the last year or so. And it's something that I've been trying to implement with more focus into my Christian journey. And I'm going to start by more introducing the concept of it, but overall it is more of a practical talk. And what I'm believing is that not only you hear what God has to say, but you also take it out of this place and put it into practice as well. So if you're taking notes, I suppose you can title this talk Glorifying God. So glorifying God is the most important thing that we can do as a Christian. And as I mentioned before, I just want to share the practicality behind it, so how we can glorify God. But before I do that, I just want to introduce it a bit first so you understand why it's imperative and where I'm coming from as well. So I'm actually going to go all teacher on you for a second, but when we say the word glory, it's a noun. So in other words, the word glory represents the Lord's presence. It's who he is and how he manifests himself. However, tonight I want to be focusing on the word glorify, or more specifically, glorifying God. So we've taken that word and we've changed it from a noun to a verb. So it's an action verb. It's something that we do. So glorifying God is something that we do. Now, if we look even deeper into the meaning of the word, sorry, I did say I was going full teacher, but the thanks, Matt, teachers. The Greek word for glorify in the New Testament is doxazo, which I hope I'm pronouncing correct, but in English, it can be translated to praise, celebrate, extol, make glorious, or magnify. So as this word is written in the Bible, when we glorify God, we are to praise him. We're to celebrate him. We're to extol and ascribe honor to God. So now, hopefully I did my job right as a teacher and you understand what it is. But the question now is why? Why do we glorify God? So just quickly, I have 3 points based on why we glorify God. And obviously, there are way more than 3 reasons why we glorify him, but these are 3 that just really stood out in the scripture. So the first reason we should glorify God is because we are created to. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Whom I created for my glory. God has created us for his glory. Now, when you create something for a specific purpose, you expect it to fulfill that purpose. So, like, common sense. But Caleb and myself, we recently built a veggie garden. Cute, hey? But so what we did, we got the garden bed, we got the soil, we got the fertilizer, the seeds. We planted the seeds, we've been watering it. Well, I have. I don't know what he's been doing at all, but but what do we expect from this? That it's going to grow veggies? And if not, we'll probably rip it out and start again or do something differently. I don't know. But this is what God expects from us. We are created to glorify him, so he expects that. Now, I'm not saying he's going to rip you up and chuck you out like I would the veggie garden, but we are to glorify him because we are created to. Another reason we should glorify God is so that others can see the glory and give him glory for that. Matthew 5:16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are to live a life that glorifies God so others can see how we live and give glory to God for that. You know how there's that one person and they can walk into the room and the mood changes instantly. They're laughing, they're joking. They just have that great aura with them. And everyone who sees it, experiences it, their mood changes. They're happy, cheerful, and enjoy themselves. Or I'm sure we've all experienced the opposite, where someone walks into the room and they've got the worst attitude, and it just changes the mood of the room. It might be that awkward silence or whatever. But it affects everyone that sees and experiences it. But this is what God wants. Well, not for us to be the negative person, but he wants us to have or live a life that is pleasing to him with good works, so that others can see that and give glory to him for it. Now, the third reason we should give glory to God is to give thanks to him for everything he has done. Psalm 86:12 says, "I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." So we're to glorify God, to give thanks for all that he has done. Now, generally, well, I hope at least, when someone does something for you, you are thankful. You thank them. For instance, I don't know, say if someone gave you a lump sum of money, bought you a car, paid off your home loan, I don't know, you'd be pretty thankful. Well, I hope so, at least. But you'd be doing anything and everything for them. Now, let's compare that to what God has done for us. He sent his son down to die and suffer for the sins and mistakes that we made. He chose to give us grace besides all the wrong that we have done, demonstrating his love to us, giving us eternal life. It doesn't even compare at all. So what should we be doing? At least thanking him for that by glorifying him. So why we glorify God? We are created to, so others can give him glory and to thank him. But now I wanted to get to the practical side of actually glorifying God. And as I'm sharing this, this is something that I'm talking or speaking to myself as well, because I need daily reminder to implement this into my life. For example, a couple of weeks ago, I was reversing my car out of my driveway. Now, if you know my driveway, it's very steep. And when you're reversing, you actually can't see what is at the top of the driveway. Now, my brother's girlfriend decided to park a car at the top of the driveway. So, as you can imagine, I reversed into it. I shouldn't be laughing, but anyways, when I checked my car, there was nothing, like the tiniest scratch. You couldn't even tell that I'd actually hit her car. But when I checked her car, there was a pretty nice dent that definitely needs to get fixed. But just being completely honest, the first thought that came to my head was, I could get away with this. If I lied, she would have no idea that it was actually me. There's nothing on my car. But ironically, as I thought about ignoring it, this talk popped into my head. And I thought, would I be glorifying God if I lied about it? What's that saying? Practice what you preach. No, but this is something that I'm speaking to for myself as well. So I've come up with 5 different ways in which we can glorify God. Now, obviously, there are way more than 5. Again, there are way more than 5. But these are just 5 ways that God has been speaking to me about. So the first way that we can glorify God is to put him first. Put God first in everything we do. Like, easy, common sense. Like, of course I do that. Of course I put God first in my life. That's probably our first thought or instinct to this. But when we dig deeper into this idea, this is something that is actually a lot easier said than it is done. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." What this verse tells us is that everything, in everything we do, it has to be done in the name of Jesus for God. Key word there, everything. In everything you do, at home, at work, with your family, with your friends, you are to put God first. How you react when that person cuts you off in traffic, when all that work is piling up, when that person at work isn't pulling their weight, when you run into that person who just rubs you up the wrong way, how you react in these situations, are you putting God first? Our day-to-day activities done with God in mind, putting him first, is an expression of you glorifying him. Now, as you know, my favorite hobby is sport. Somehow, every time I get up, it comes up, I talk about it. I don't know why or how, but it does. Playing it, watching it, talking about it, even dreaming it. I love it. Now, there's nothing wrong with me loving sport. However, it came to a stage where I had to ask myself a question, and one that I know God definitely put on my mind and my heart. It is, are you putting God or sport first? Pretty sad, but my instant response was like, stupid question. Like, of course I'm putting God first. I always do that. But I began to practically assess how I did that. Now, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Unfortunately for me, it does not say that I should seek after sport first. So I had to ask myself if I was spending more time with sport or whatever than I was with God. Now, I would sit there for hours, like literally hours, watching sport, basketball, soccer, tennis at the moment, cricket, whatever, you name it. But was I doing the same with God? Was I spending hours seeking after him, reading my Bible, praying, being with him? Now, it was a pretty confronting question at the time, but it was one that was important and I had to ask. And it's one that I challenge you to ask yourself and to think about. Are you putting God first over everything in your life? So firstly, we put God first in our lives. We glorify him. The second way we can glorify God is to read the Bible. Cop-out answer, right? You know, if you grew up in church and more specifically went to kids' church, you would know that reading the Bible was always the go-to answer. How do people know we're Christians? Read the Bible. How can we get closer to God? Read the Bible. How does God know we love him? Read the Bible. It was always the go-to answer, and prayer was a pretty close second behind that. But why is that? Like, why is it always the go-to answer? Because even though it seems simple, it's the truth. When we read the Bible, we glorify God. Now, we just looked at how glorifying God is putting him first in our life. But how do we know how to do that? How do we understand how to put God first in our life? It's through reading the Bible. Joshua 1:8 says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in everything you do. We're to use the Bible to help us understand how to walk with God. And once we understand and learn to walk with God, we glorify him. Now, I love that this verse uses the term meditate, because meditate means more than just to read or to contemplate. The idea behind it is that we reflect on God's word, appropriating the truths and applying them to our lives. And when we apply these truths to our lives, we glorify God. Have you ever been in that conversation with someone and they're right? Like, it doesn't matter what you say, they're always right. They know the answer. What do you do in that situation? Now, because you have to prove that they're wrong, no matter what. But what do you do? Google it straight up. I'll Google the answer. What do I do when I need to know anything at all? Straight to Google. It never lets you down. What do you do when you need to know the weather? Go to the weather app. What do you do when you need to know how to get somewhere? Google Maps. When we have questions or are unsure about the answer, we go to the best source to find the answer. And this should be our attitude about God's word. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. As Christians, we are not to copy the customs and behaviors of this world, but we are to live the way God wants us to. We're to let God change and transform us and change the way we think. So when we need to know how to glorify him, how to live the way he wants us to, how to deal with specific situations, what do? We go straight to the main source, straight to the Bible. We begin to learn and understand how to live in a way that glorifies God. So the third way that we can glorify God is to love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, love in general is something that God and Jesus place the utmost importance on. Matthew 22:35-39 says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we examine these verses, it demonstrates who our love should be focused towards. So first it says, love the Lord your God. So our first love should be directed towards God. Then it goes on to say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It demonstrates that we should love others. And when we do this, accomplish this, love both God and others, we glorify God. So loving God, the most obvious way to glorify him. But how should we love God? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. I love how this verse specifies how we should love God with absolutely everything we have, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with our passions, our hungers, our perceptions, and our thoughts. When we do this, love him with everything we have, we glorify him. Our entire being is to display that we love God. Our thoughts, desires, actions, whether you're eating, drinking, texting, exercising, drawing, whatever you like to do, we need to do it representing a love for God. And when we do this, we glorify him. Now, the second person that we are told to love in Matthew 22 is our neighbor, so loving others. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I loved you. God has commanded us to love others. However, let's be honest, it can be difficult to love some people sometimes. It can be easy to judge and criticize. It can be easy to get jealous. It can be easy to make that comment about someone. It can be easy to conclude that that person will just never change. It's easy to justify why we have the right to hold grudges or not forgive that person. So how are we meant to love when it's so difficult? How are we meant to love those people? The answer is with God. Now, cop-out answer again, right? But truthfully, we cannot love the way God wants us to when we are away or apart from him. 1 John 4:7 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So if we have not been born of God, we do not know love. So how do we love that person? It's through God. It's when we are with Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in us, we are able to bear that fruit of love. And when we accomplish this, when we love those people who in our own strength we wouldn't have been able to love, but with God's strength we are able to love, what do we see? We see God's Spirit shine through us. He is glorified through this love. By relying on God to help us love, despite some people's lack of lovability at times, he is glorified because we are relying on him. So now the fourth way we can glorify God is to evangelize. Now, last week I was on holiday, so I actually wasn't at church, but the podcast popped up and it was titled The Great Commission. And when I saw this, I was like, oh no. So no offense, Pastor Jack, but I decided I wouldn't listen to it because I didn't want to change any of my notes because I feel like I was copying off you. So if I'm repeating anything from last week, I apologize. No, but for those of you unsure what the term evangelism means, simply put, evangelism is telling people about Jesus, hoping that God will touch them with his grace and that they will put their trust in him. Now, before Jesus went up to heaven, he gave one last command to his disciples, which is something that we should follow on with today. In Mark 16:15, it says, and he said to them, Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So how can we glorify God? By telling people about him. Now, not to be repetitive, I did warn you, but going back to sport, again, when I have the chance to talk about it, I do, as you can tell. I'll talk about it constantly, all the time, as much as I can to whomever I can. However, is this what God has asked me or commanded me to do? And again, unfortunately, it's not, as much as I wish it is sometimes. But he has asked and commanded me to tell everyone about him. So this is what my attitude should be about telling people about Jesus. Every conversation I have, every opportunity, every encounter with that person, I should be trying to find a way to tell them about Jesus. Now, Paul is someone who demonstrated through evangelism how to glorify God. In Acts 20, Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders about the work he had just completed. And this is what he says. "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying the good news of God's grace." And just skipping a few verses later, he continues on to say, "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears." So Paul here states that he did not hesitate at all to tell people about Jesus. Day and night, for 3 years, non-stop, he warned the Jews, the Greeks, to everyone. Everywhere he went, he was telling people about Jesus. But you know what? That still wasn't enough. He thought that he could glorify God more. So he decided that he was going to go to Jerusalem to tell people about Jesus. However, Paul shared in verse 23 that the Holy Spirit warned him that he would face trials, tribulations, and hardships if he went. But let's read his reaction again in verse 24. He says, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to testify the good news of God's grace." Paul did not care what would happen to him. Why? Because he knew that he was telling people about Jesus and glorifying God was more important than anything else. Now, you know, when Paul says his life means nothing to him, he means it literally. You might think, hey, it's just a figure of speech or just trying to demonstrate his passion or help with the illustration. No, you're wrong. It's not right. He actually means it literally. Now, Paul actually shares some of the troubles he faced because he told people about Jesus. Now, I'm not going to read the whole passage because it's fairly long, but if you want to fact check me, it's in 2 Corinthians 11. Anyways, so because he told people about Jesus, Paul had been to prison, received the lashing that Jesus received on 5 different occasions. He was beaten with rods 3 times. He was stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a whole night and day adrift at sea, went hungry, thirsty, and even homeless. But even through this, he continued to tell people about Jesus. Why? He tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:15, "All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more glory." Telling people about God and his grace gives glory to him. Now, as the team come up, I just wanted to share the last point on why we should or how we should glorify God, which is through worship. So praise and worship. So glorifying God through music. Now, just some fun facts for you, I suppose. But the Bible actually contains over 400 different references to singing and 50 direct commands to sing. And did you actually know that God and Jesus both sung? So Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." So this verse shows us that God actually exalts over his people with singing. And then in Matthew 26:30, it says, "Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives." So on the eve of his crucifixion, during the last Passover, Jesus sat with his disciples. And during this time, before they went to the Mount of Olives, they all sung a hymn. So Jesus sat with his disciples singing a hymn. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God." So we to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with being thankful to God. And when we do this, we glorify Him.